When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
The Dodgers' nightmare final week of the first half of the season. Juan Soto said he wants to play with Shohei Ohtani. We got five closer trade targets the Dodgers could trade for. Do they need another closer? Clayton Kershaw makes another rehab start. Got a big update on Clayton Kershaw. And the Dodgers, they draft a shortstop in the first round. We're breaking it all down more here on Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
Grand slam! It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is up, Dodgers Nation, and welcome to another episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain, credentialed member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Now, if you haven't yet, do us a huge favor and subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel, the number one Dodgers YouTube channel in the game. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and if you really want to support the channel, smash that like button. And you know the drill, comment Ohtani down below. Once we hit 95K, we're giving away an authentic gray Shohei Ohtani Dodgers jersey. I think we're going to plan a giveaway for 94K. We got some more t-shirts, some hat giveaways coming up. So if you want to be eligible for all of our giveaways, you just have to do two things. Subscribe to the channel and comment down below. Also, have those notifications on so you know wherever we're going live so you have more chances to win. Also, you know how we start off today's show with the Dodgers Nation, Dodgers Dugout Live poll question of the show. I asked you guys over on the X, should the Dodgers sign Juan Soto? And right now, 63% of you say yes, 37% of you say no. People are talking about it in the comments. Is this a Scott Boras tactic? Give you my thoughts on Juan Soto saying he wants to play with Shohei Ohtani. We'll get into that in a second. Here got Damon McClain. Hey, D-Mac, the Dodgers bullpen didn't blow a lead today. That's a fire take right off the start. Give you a fire take. Give you a let's go, Dodgers. It was a rough week. Dodgers took some L's in the D. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live is brought to you by our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, right to all of the top fights in UFC and MMA and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to the online casino and get it on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV to get a 50% off free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. That is a promo code for Bleav, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% off free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here. So this is a live show, the number one live Dodgers show on YouTube, and you know the drill. If we see a comment of the show, you're going to see one of these.
You win.
I got my man Tony Taters. Antonio, looking for your comments. He'll feature them on the screen. All the super chats will get right to him. Also, you got Mr. Noise by Noel. Noel Sanchez, a.k.a. Young Lotto. He's looking for your fire takes, too. Fire take. We got some right off the bat here. We got Jose Aguirre. Let's see who the Dodgers come back to L.A. Let's see who doesn't come back to L.A. after the break. Interesting. You think some trades could be consummated. Paul Gutierrez, need another bat in the bottom of the order. Joe Harrington, D-Mac, Dodgers should trade for Soto and Volpe. Throw in Spencer Jones, too. That feels like you are doing fantasy baseball with a league of one right there. Michael Carrillo in the mix. We got some Gotanis. We have Mitchell Hopkins saying Dodgers Nation CFB 25 Dynasty. I will say, as someone who grew up playing NCAA football, really my favorite sports game of all time, other than MVP baseball 2005, this is a great day. So hopefully you're listening to us while you're playing college football 25. And the reason I love college football 25 and why I missed EA Sports version is that's the only way UCLA football could win a national championship. So now my Bruins can win a national championship. Finally, I'm going to do it as soon as I get a chance to on NCAA football. So good times, but we got lots to talk to. We got some draft. We got some trade talk. We've got some Kershaw updates. We got all kinds of things to get into. This is Dodgers Dugout Live. Everything you need to know about your Dodgers in less than an hour. And we got the leadoff, the biggest story, the hottest story in Dodger baseball. So we're going to talk about the week that was. We did post-game shows throughout the week. So if you want an in-depth breakdown on every single game, every win or loss from last week, you can find it. And we're going to talk about the rotation, the bullpen. I'm hearing the Dodgers are going to be active on the reliever market as well. So we'll get into that. But the biggest story in Dodger baseball has to be, all of a sudden, that the biggest free agent this upcoming offseason, Juan Soto, said he wants to play with Shohei Ohtani. Players were meeting with the media today down at Globe Life Stadium, Dodger Stadium Southwest there, where the Dodgers won the 2020 World Series. And Juan Soto was asked which player in Major League Baseball would he most want to play with. And here's what Soto said.
Steph and LeBron finally get to play together. Who is one MLB player you'd love to play with that you haven't had the chance to on the same team?
Ohtani wouldn't be one of the best. Now he went to the NL, I went to the AL, so it's been a little tricky, but definitely Ohtani will be one of them.
Okay, congrats.
So I don't know who loves Shohei Ohtani more. Is it Juan Soto or is it Ellie De La Cruz? Okay, because it feels like all the superstar players in Major League Baseball want to link up with Shohei Ohtani. And I'll never forget a couple years ago when Shohei Ohtani was on the block and the Dodgers were rumored to be linked to him, that they're rumored to be pursuing him. And it was at Dodger Stadium during the All-Star weekend festivities, and Dodgers fans, they were trying to do their own recruiting. So look at that right there. You got Dodgers fans like future Dodgers. Now, could the Dodgers go out there and sign Juan Soto for $500 to $600 million? Yeah, they print money. You have a Shohei Ohtani who has 98% of his contract deferred. Sure, they could afford it. Will it happen? I think that's a long shot. And I think if you look at Juan Soto and where he is right now, Bob Nightingale was on the show a couple weeks ago, and I asked him, where does he think that Juan Soto will ultimately sign? And he thinks it's going to be a battle between the two New York franchises, the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. The incumbent team, they always have an advantage, but if you don't get an extension done, which will not happen, well, it's going to be a battle. And I think what we know about Andrew Friedman is he does not get into bidding wars. Remember, Shohei Ohtani, it was not a bidding war. They were going to pay him whatever he wanted because Shohei is that rare superstar where you're going to make profit off of him. You're going to make money off of him because of how bankable he is. I mean, how many times you'll go on Twitter and you see the Dodgers sign a new sponsorship deal with another Japanese company? It seems like it's 8, 9, 10 at this point. You look at the bobblehead nights. I mean, if the Dodgers have a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night every night, they could afford Juan Soto. And they absolutely could. But if they were to, that means that they would get into a bidding war. And sure, they could afford it, but that's when it becomes, okay, we're going to have to overpay. We're going to have to say, okay, Stephen Cohen and the New York Mets and Steinbrenner and the Yankees, are we willing to go north of 500, north of 600, something in that category? I just don't think the Dodgers are going to be willing to go that high. And you look at Juan Soto, phenomenal player, great player, one of the players of his generation. I mean, anytime you're known as the modern day Ted Williams and you're Juan Soto, the way he has played discipline and he's just an incredible player. I mean, this season, he already has 5 WAR, slugging 558, a 985 OPS, a 175 OPS plus, 23 home runs. Also is second in Major League Baseball behind Emmanuel Clase in win probability added. And you look at his ability to get on base, a 426 on base percentage. And that's extremely impressive. Extremely impressive. Of course, we know the splendid splinter, Mr. Ted Williams, a career 482 on base percentage. That's the best all time, Ted Williams. So, yeah, is he in Ted Williams' territory? I mean, I want to go that far, but he's an incredible player. But I think if you are Juan Soto, if you're willing to defer money to make it happen, then maybe it's a possibility. I think that Scott Boras would jump off the highest building in New York before that happens. We know that Scott Boras would not want that. Having said that, you saw what Max Scherzer did a couple years ago with the Nationals. He had a lot of deferred money. And I think it's important for people to remind, I've spoken to Scott Boras a couple of different times, and I think there's some misconceptions with Boras. And one of them is that the player works for him. No. That's not how it works. Yes, he has tons of high-profile clients. Yes, he loves to be the guy on the ticker that's breaking records, signing incredible deals for his players. But at the end of the day, Boras works for his players, and it's not the other way around. So if Juan Soto wanted to play with Shohei Ohtani so bad that he was willing to take deferrals, maybe it could happen. But I just don't see it happening. I still think that he ends up with the Yankees or the Mets. And if it's the Dodgers, then a lot of things would have to go right. If it's the Dodgers, they would have to completely have solidified their starting rotation. Maybe you win a World Series this year. I mean, if they win the World Series, and Juan Soto's already won a World Series, so it's not like he has to check that box off. It's about getting paid. It's about being in a good situation. It's about being in a market where he can have a lot of commercial success and endorsements. But hey, if he wants to go $700 million deferred until 2074, then maybe you could talk about. But I just don't think this is going to happen. I will say the one thing about Juan Soto this year, and it's a very encouraging stat if you are Scott Boras and his representatives, is that there's been some questions about his defensive ability. Is he an average defender? Is he a below average defender that makes up for it because of what he does at the plate? Well, he's been a plus defender. He's a 1 ounce above average. That's in the 62nd percentile. His arm has been one of the best as far as arm value this year. And he's an incredible player. I just don't think Juan Soto is going to end up in LA. I think the chances are probably one in a million at this point. But let me go to you, Noel Sanchez, first, because I know you like players like Juan Soto, guys that have some flash, guys that have some swag. Could you see him in Dodger blue? And do you think he'd seriously consider signing with this team?
I think when you factor in the amount of money that he's set to make in the open market, I mean, he turned down humongous contract offer from the Nationals, a team that he won with. I mean, he's also been in the open market before, and he's continuously put himself in a position to showcase his skills, be in a market like the Yankees where he wants to make as much money as possible. And even though, like I was talking before, I think it would be awesome if the Dodgers landed a meeting with him to at least kind of get the idea rolling and see where their minds are at. But I just think, like you said, he's going to try to make as much money as possible. I think it's smart for him to stay in New York, probably stay on that Yankee squad with Aaron Judge and build something really special there. And I really don't think it's possible, but hey, it would be amazing if we got to see those two team up here.
I mean, that's truly assembling a super duper team, the Avengers assembling for sure. I mean, I think that he's going to make more than Judge did for sure. He's going to sign for more than Judge because of his age, but I also think he's going to make less than Shohei Ohtani. I think he ends up signing for 12 years, $540 million. That was my prediction a couple months ago. It sets him at $45 million AAV. I think you see some opt-outs in that deal, maybe after the fifth season, maybe after the fourth season, something like that. Because I think one thing he's done this year is say, I'm not just a DH, right? He can play in the outfield. He can play it at an above average level, but he ain't more marketable. He's not a bigger superstar than Shohei Ohtani. And personally, I'd rather allocate those resources to starting pitching and really getting yourself in a position where if you do have injuries, you're able to overcome them. But the outfield is absolutely a need. Let's point that out. The outfield is an area where the Dodgers are going to be forced to address. Teoscar Hernandez, he is on expiring contract. He signed a one-year deal with the Dodgers for over $23 million. Jason Hayward on a one-year deal. Chris Taylor, he's a utility player. Do they bank on some of these players they have right now? Guys like Andy Páez and James Outman and Miguel Vargas, who's had his adventures out in the outfield. I think they bet on Páez. Outman's possible as well, but I think the move to me, instead of going out there and getting Juan Soto and committing him for a long, long time, and then you have very little flexibility as far as your position players go, I mean, I'd rather use that money and get a shortstop, go out there, sign Willy Adames to a Dansby Swanson-like contract, anywhere from $120 to $160 million, something in that range. Hopefully get Roky Sasaki, and hopefully you traded for either Randy Rosarena or Luis Robert Jr., who can be one of your established outfielders. But let me know down below in the comments section, what do you guys think about the idea of Juan Soto to LA? Michael Negrete says, Dodgers assemble the endgame D-Mac fire take. Bobby, the Dodgers need pitching, especially bullpen help, and possibly a couple of starters. Soto doesn't solve that problem. Trade a Rosarena or trade for a Luis Robert Jr.? Seems like we're in a mind meld right there. Roy Estrada, Randy A over Soto all day. It's not saying that Randy A is a better player than Soto. It's saying that Randy A, never heard anyone call him that, but I like it. Randy A is someone who, maybe he's not an A+, Randy A+, but he's someone who's a Randy B, but he can play like a Randy A+ in the postseason if he gets hot. So D-Mac loves Willy Adames. Joshua, I do. I love me some Willy Adames. Trust me. But we got a super chat, Francisco Diaz, $19.99. D-Mac, now the first half is officially over with. Watching most of our key players land on the IL, I can only imagine this is how the Avengers felt after the snap. But hopefully, we'll have our endgame portal scene in August. A very Marvel-heavy show today. I like that. Give you a comment of the show, my guy. Let's go. And remember, Thanos didn't lose. They had to go back in time to beat him. But you can't go back in time and avoid some of these injuries. But what you can do is you can operate now and you can make moves to prevent this team from collapsing in October. So we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about the Dodgers this week. And it was definitely a down week for LA. Philly was the city of no brotherly love. The Dodgers took L's in the D. LA goes 1-5 on the season, on the week. And now if you look at their record on the season, yes, sure, they're still right in first place in the National League West. You're fine with that. The Dodgers, 56-41, 7 games up of the Arizona Diamondbacks, also 7 up on the Padres there. But it was not a fun week. And we talked about the reason why they lost during the postgame shows, but about the big picture, the starting pitching has been the worst in Major League Baseball over the last couple of weeks. This is the Dodgers. If you look it up, since the Dodgers moved to LA, collectively, they've had the lowest ERA in Major League Baseball. This organization, you can go out there and add Mookie Betts and add Freddie Freeman, add Shohei Ohtani. This organization, the foundation has always been built on pitching. And if you look at the Dodgers starters, Since Gavin Stone's complete game shutout against the White Sox on June 26, the Dodgers in 15 games since, Dodgers starters have combined for an 8.22 ERA. That's 30th in baseball. A 6.31 FIP. That's 30th in baseball, dead last. They pitched 61 and a third innings. That is the least amount. That's last in baseball. Their relievers, on the other hand, have pitched 70 innings. That's the second most. So, yes, we all would have liked to see Alex Vesia out there instead of Johan Ramirez, but he was heavily taxed. And Dave Roberts didn't want to go with him again because of that. And you wanted to avoid that. Me personally, I would have put him out there, get Zach McKinstry. But you look at where this team is. Johan Ramirez, he appeared in 25 of the Dodgers' 47 games since he's made his first appearance. That's the third most behind Austin Voth and John Brebbia in that stretch. Okay? They have drove him like a rented car. And Daniel Hudson wasn't available due to back stiffness. Alex Vesia, he was reluctant to use Alex Vesia because he was had been used on consecutive nights and he'd been overworked of late. So the Dodgers, they end up going out there and really stinking up the joint from a starting pitching standpoint. And this is not who this team is. This is not who this team is. And you look at the home runs, a 2.49 home runs per nine. That's dead last in baseball. 17 home runs in that stretch. A negative 0.06 F4. That's dead last. This week, they allowed 37 runs. That's 6.17 runs per game. So you can talk about the offense, but the pitching was absolutely atrocious. The Gator shows Johan was MVP this weekend for Detroit. Ouch. Ouch. You can mess with the Johan, right? Now, the big picture concern for me, though, was Evan Phillips. So Evan Phillips, in the Saturday implosion, where Ricky Venasco wasn't able to record an out, and then Colt Keith hit the game-tying home run off of Evan Phillips. Well, Evan Phillips is supposed to be the Dodgers' best reliever. He's supposed to be Fireman Phillips. Well, this season, Evan Phillips has not put up the same Evan Phillips season that we've seen in the past. And really where it starts is his effectiveness against left-handed hitters. And you saw Colt Keith. He hits a home run as a southpaw. Well, this year, lefties are hitting .298 with a .961 OPS off of Evan Phillips. Last year, southpaws, they hit .222 and a .662 OPS. So that OPS has gone from .662 up to .961. That batting average has gone from .222 to .298. He has converted 14 of 16 save attempts, but if you look at the ERA, .205 last year up to .273 this year. The FIP last year was .316. This year, it's at .357. Last couple of seasons, he hasn't been as good as he was in 2022 when he truly was an elite all-world closer. So Evan Phillips, I think he's an elite high-leverage guy, but I think you need another dominant arm, another closer type. And I've heard from sources that the Dodgers are going to be active in adding another reliever. We got we're going to talk about those names too. I got some names who I think the Dodgers should absolutely pursue in a second. But first, let me know down below in the comment section, what are your thoughts on Evan Phillips? I think Evan Phillips is still elite, but I think that you should optimize him where he needs to be optimized and have him go out there and dominate in different situations where he's using the seventh, using the eighth, using the sixth even. I don't think you want to tie him down to the closer situation. They haven't done that the whole season, right? Daniel Hudson's made saves too. Vesia, I mean, there's guys that have made saves for the Dodgers, but I think Evan Phillips, is he the best reliever on a World Series championship winning team? I think you need a little more depth. You need some more bullets in that bullpen. We got damn Kenta was mowing his down from MH. Always a shout out to Kenta. Honey Bun Phillips from Eric. Love me some Evan Phillips. Evan Phillips is the man. I just think that you want to put him in a situation where he can have the most success. And you also want to see him get back to his career averages against lefties where he's had a lot of success. There's no doubt about it. Rename Sunset Boulevard to Otani Avenue. I'd be with that. We got Joe Kelly on the way back from Graham Farmer. No to Soto from Kurt Johnson. Jesse Gonzalez says baseball season is a roller coaster. To think LAD would not have stretched where they struggle is unfair. Look, I've said it for the last couple of weeks. This should come as a realization that's not blowing your mind. This shouldn't be a shocker. This shouldn't be a surprise because the starting rotation has pitched less innings than the relievers since June 1st. And since June 1st, they've posted a sub-5 innings pitched per start clip. And anytime you're going less than five for a long period of time, you're taxing that bullpen. It's going to lead to some big games where you just ran out. Yesterday, they ran out of arms. Quite simply, they ran out of arms. You could have gone with Alex Vesia and then maybe said, okay, if we lose or they tie it in the ninth, go to position player, maybe get Kike back out there on the mound. I just wouldn't have done that personally. I think at that point, it starts becoming a little disrespectful to the game, to be honest. Joe Harris, D-Mac, Johan was mumbling to himself, worst. That's Joe Harrington. Mookie for Soto. No, absolutely not. Well, of course, you're not going to do that midseason or anything like that. But I got five closers I, the Dodgers, absolutely need to consider trading. Four. After the trade deadline, one of these guys better be in the Dodgers bullpen. And it starts with Tanner Scott. Tanner Scott, left-handed pitcher, Miami Marlins. We talked about this for months now, years now. I was trying to push for Tanner Scott last season. And with Tanner Scott, he has established himself not only as a great high leverage reliever, but a closer. He's another guy that has that experience getting those final three outs. And he's one of the guys on this list that is guaranteed 100% is going to be dealt at the deadline. By all reports, Tanner Scott will be traded at the deadline. And Tanner Scott is a guy that can absolutely take this bullpen to a whole nother level. And he just is perfect, right? He's a fireballer. He's going to be a free agent. He's on a last place team. Anytime you have an impending free agent that has value on a bad team, he is going to be dealt. In this season, a 1.34 ERA, a 3.14 expected ERA, a 3.43 FIP, a 3.82 expected FIP. That fastball slider combo, not only does it miss bats, but he misses barrels. He's averaging 96.7 miles per hour on the fastball. That's in the 90th percentile. An 82.8 exit velocity. That's in the 100th percentile. So his exit velo is at 82.8 miles per hour. That is inducing soft contact at the elitist levels. You can't get better than that. A 27.6 strikeout rate, a 15.3 walk rate, which is in the first percentile. So strikeout rate in the 83rd, walk rate in the first. That's bad. That's the big con on Tanner Scott. But last season, he did have a career low 7.9 walk rate, and he struck out more than one third of the batters that he faced. So I think from a mechanical standpoint, you take him from a bad organization to a good organization that knows how to develop pitching. Well, then I think that that's a good situation for him to reduce that walk rate. And this is a guy that's a difference maker. This season, the Marlins, 25-12 when he pitches. When they don't, 7-46. This guy is one of the only true impact difference makers on that team. And I think he absolutely is my number one target as far relievers. Give me Tanner Scott. And Alex Vesia has been really good. I mean, a 1.28 ERA actually has more F4, 0.8 to 0.6. But Tanner Scott with the high leverage velocity, that is where you need to take it. When you have high leverage, high velocity in the postseason, that is what plays up. And I think one thing about this Dodgers team that I just do not want to see, and one of the big fears that I have, is that you rely on the internal options. You rely on guys coming back. Guys like Bruzdar Graterol, who's made progress. He's throwing. Ryan Brazier. Joe Kelly. Go to the starters. Clayton Kershaw. Walker Buehler's in Florida trying to figure things out. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, he's playing catch at 60 feet. He's not feeling pain. Those are all good signs, but I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And I think that has to be the mindset for this Dodgers team. For this Dodgers team, that's the approach you have to have. Because if you have it and you get it back, then you're just deciding, okay, where do I go from here? I mean, who do I want to use? And it becomes a competition level. That's the number one thing for me. Next option for me, Kirby Yates. Now, the Rangers have to become sellers, but Kirby Yates is someone that He fits what Andrew Friedman and this organization like. So when I throw out these trades, obviously I would love Mason Miller. I would love Mason Miller too. I'd also love a Bugatti. I would also love a private jet. Doesn't mean I'm getting it, right? I would also love NCAA 25 and a PS5. Doesn't mean I have it and it's going to happen. But with Mason Miller, it's not that attainable. This organization, when it comes to trading for relievers, they like trading for guys that are impending free agents. Kirby Yates signed a one-year, $4.5 million deal with the Rangers. This year, a 1.05 ERA, a 1.79 expected ERA, a 34.6 strikeout rate. That's ninth among relievers. He's in the top three in the percentile rankings for expected batting average, whiff percentage, expected ERA, and also barrel percentage is impressive as well. Only thing that the Dodgers need is for the Rangers to decide that they're sellers. The Rangers are five games back in the American League West, 7.5 games back in the wild card. So after the break, let's root for the Dodgers and who's ever playing against the Texas Rangers so they become sellers. And Kirby Yates absolutely would be a top candidate. Another top candidate I've talked about on the show, Pete Fairbanks. Now, Pete Fairbanks, right-handed pitcher, Tampa Bay Rays, since the start of the 2020 season, he's thrown 170 and a third innings with a 2.75 ERA, a 33% strikeout rate, and a 10.1% walk rate. The Rays did sign to an extension back in 2023 where he's set to make $3.6 million from 2023 to 2025. He also has a club option for 2026. That club option has in it a $7 million base salary that has some escalators in it and also includes a $1 million buyout. So you do get him for multiple seasons. You get him for the rest of this year and 2025 and a club option for 2026. So I think Pete Fairbanks makes sense if you add him with Randy Arozarena and try to get value out of that deal. So Pete Fairbanks, all in on that as a possibility as well. And if you want to kind of go on a lesser level, Dylan Floro of the Nationals, old friend Dylan Floro, I mean, $2.25 million wouldn't cost you much. Dollar menu shopping if you're the Dodgers. A 2.06 ERA. Only concerns for me, does not strike out a lot of guys as far as what I'm looking for in a dominant bullpen piece. A 20.5 strikeout rate, 6.4 walk rate. Has not given up a home run this season. So he's the opposite of Lance Lynn, essentially, as a reliever. Now, if you want to dream big, Mason Miller. Now, Mason Miller, it's comic book stuff. It truly is. A 101.1 mile per hour heater, a nasty, dirty slider, a 46.5% strikeout rate, 9.9% walk rate, more than makes up for that. Also a 40.3% ground ball rate, and he keeps the ball in the yard, a 0.72 home runs per nine. Only issue is Mason Miller is under contract for a long, long time. And because of that, he's going to cost a lot of top prospects. And do you really want to give up top prospects for a reliever? At the end of the day, it's a closer. So for me, I don't want to give up top guys, Dalton Rushing, Josue De Paula, guys like that. You still got River Ryan coming. I think River Ryan can really help this team. So it's just the cost is too high. You're paying above sticker price on that, right? You're paying above the sticker price just because it's new and it's in demand. Now, the last one, we'll talk about Kenley Jansen. Throwing Kenley Jansen there, for me, I would much rather have Tanner Scott. I would much rather have Kirby Yates. I would much rather have Pete Fairbanks. But Kenley this year has produced a 2.16 ERA, a 3.19 expected ERA, a 2.14 FIP, a 3.96 expected FIP, and his 19 saves are the eighth most in Major League Baseball this season. Now, I do think it's pretty interesting where the Red Sox are. Will the Red Sox truly be sellers? That's kind of the question I have. Because if the Red Sox are sellers, well, he's absolutely a guy you have to trade away. You have to trade him away. If they're not, though, then they should be buyers. And Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, he said, Are we at the end of a window or just the beginning of a window that can dictate how you tend to behave? All of those things go into this decision. The last piece that is often overlooked is the opportunities. Until you have the talks, you don't know what opportunities are available to upgrade your team or opportunities to get something that you simply can't walk past. So that sounds to me like they're kind of in between. And if that was the case, the Dodgers have shown interest in Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen said recently he wants to retire as a Los Angeles Dodger. Wouldn't be my top choice, but wouldn't be the worst in the world. Kenley Jansen knows at the very least what it's like to pitch in front of 50,000 screaming Dodgers fans. He knows the expectation, the standard of this organization. Does he still have it? He does. Is he as good as he was at its peak? No. The problem I have is even when he was at his peak, he still gave up a home run to Marwin Gonzalez. He still gave the tying home run to Steve Pierce. I don't want to see Kenley Jansen live through the Kenley Fournier adventure once again. I just don't want to do that. Okay. I mean, I really, like I said, you don't want to reheat the McDonald's French fries. It feels like that with Kenley. And I love the guy. I love what he did here. But for me, I want to go in a different direction. But we got to, I mean, Kopech does have K stuff from Michael Carrillo. Kopech is another great option too. If you could get him in a deal with Crochet, he's someone that would be a viable option as well. Michael Kopech, he's definitely someone who is an impact player when it comes to fastball velocity, 98.7 miles per hour in the 98th percentile, expected batting average. He's right towards the top at 30.9 strikeout rate. That's towards the top. Michael Kopech absolutely would be a great option if the Dodgers are looking to add another reliever as well. And you look at him, he has another year of arbitration. So you get him for next year. So I would absolutely love to see a Kopech plus Garrett Crochet trade Michael Carrillo. That's a fire take right there. So let me know, out of all the relievers we just named, realistically, who would you most want to see out of Tanner Scott, Pete Fairbanks, Kirby Yates, Kenley Jansen, and we'll add Michael Kopech? Because look, Mason Miller, awesome. He's the dream girl, man. Okay, it's awesome, but, right, I mean, it's not happening. He's my poster of Pamela Anderson on my wall as a kid, okay, from Baywatch. It ain't happening, okay? I would love Mason Miller, trust me, but it's just unrealistic. So let's go. We got Greatness Dalton says, Flaherty, Fetty, Kopech, Rengifo, Pham, Ward, Rooker is my ideal trade deadline. I like that. It's a fire take. Anytime you throw out any names, any trade packages, you're going to get love for me because you're just throwing out there. We got D-Mac. If the Dodgers sign Soto, I will run across the field at Dodger Stadium in my birthday suit. You know what you're getting for one of those?
Bruh.
You're getting a bruh. And maybe a double bruh for that one. But, hey, I'd laugh. Ray Soto, I would buy a Soto jersey for no particular reason. Joe Harrington, D-Mac, the Dodgers should trade for Soto and Volpe. Throw in Spencer Jones, too. Paul Gutierrez, I'll be attending my first Dodger game at Dodger Stadium in September. I'm excited, flying from Indiana. That's awesome. I hope you watch our Dodger Stadium parking guide and our Dodger Stadium secrets video, because Dodger Stadium, it's blue heaven on earth for a reason, for sure. We got Eddie Buzz down there. Dougie Fresh, if you were a GM of the Dodgers, who would you trade for and who would you give up? Well, we kind of talked about on the show, obviously, Crochet, Randy Rose, Rana, Tanner Scott. That's my big three of guys I want to see on this team. As far as who's available for those trades, I mean, take your pick. This is an all-in team. And like I said, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. You got to plan. You can't let what happened in years prior hurt you this season, okay? As far as the prospects, I would love to keep River Ryan and Dalton Rushing. Outside of that, everyone's available. That's just the truth. But switching gears, next up, we're going to talk about the Dodgers' first-round draft pick, Kellen Lindsey, and an update on Clayton Kershaw. Keep finding a way with the comments down below. That's coming up next on Dodgers Dugout Live. Have not yet, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel for all latest Dodgers news, rumors, hype videos, interviews, breakdowns, live streams, and more all year long. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, and if you really want to help the channel out, smash that like button. Also, you will not be eligible for any of our giveaways unless you are subscribed to the channel. So all you need to do to be eligible for all of our giveaways is just make sure that you are subscribed. We just gave away a brand new authentic Mookie Betts jersey valued at over $350. And we got tons of giveaways coming this offseason. So be sure to be subscribed so you are eligible to win. And as always, think blue, bleed blue, and please subscribe. And welcome back to Dodgers Dugout Live, the number one Dodgers show on YouTube. By the way, just a reminder, this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live is brought to you by our friends over at Autograph. Autograph is an amazing app where real fans get unreal rewards by bringing the best content for the Dodgers into one place. Autograph is the first app that can recognize and reward fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. Get all your Dodgers content in one place. Read articles, listen to podcasts, get ranked, and level up so you can win exclusive, unique experiences to meet Dodgers stars, sign jerseys, and so much more. Download Autograph now and use the link in our bio and use code DNAUTOGRAPH to start winning now. We got some comments. Kenny Chung, Scott, or Yates, hell nah on Jansen. So let's go, Dodgers. We got Eric Arcos. We got Sid Duenes. No to Jansen. One night stands with exes never end well. Say, it's a fire take right there. It's a fire take, that one. We got Eric Arcos. Soto comment, is it something, nothing, or everything? Okay, so I would say that it is something if you're Scott Boras. It is nothing, but for sure the Dodgers. I don't think it means anything because I don't think him saying that is going to lead to anything. I don't think it's show GM at work. If the Dodgers wanted to sign him, they would have to get into a bidding war, and he's going to get anywhere between $500 and $600 million. I think it's going to be more than five, less than six, less than Otani, more than Judge. And I don't think the Dodgers are in a position to go out there and spend that much money on an outfielder when you need a shortstop. You need some more starting pitching, in my opinion. You can never have enough. Like I said, it's like going out there and trying to buy a player of that magnitude kind of limits what you can do in the future. But hey, if it happens, it ain't my money. And Juan Soto and Dodger Blue would certainly be electric. It would go down as one of the big super team deals of all time. So wouldn't put it past this organization, but it just doesn't feel like it's something that's going to happen. But it's still fun to talk about. And if it does, trust me, I'll be happy to be wrong on that one, because Soto is a generational talent and one of the best hitters we've ever seen. But next, we're going to dive into the Dodgers draft. The Dodgers drafted shortstop Kellen Lindsay out of Florida. He's 6'2". He was great his senior year. He slashed 400, 567, 597 in 25 games. And if you watched the draft yesterday, the first name that he was linked to was Trey Turner. He was compared to Trey Turner. Even the slides, he's got some smooth slides, not as smooth as the smooth sliderator, Mr. Trey Turner. But still, anytime you're compared to a great player, it definitely is a good thing. Also was the fastest player at the combine. He ran a 3.53 30-yard dash. That was the fastest among all players. And Eric Longenhagen of Fangraphs said, don't be surprised if you heard Lindsay compared to Trey Turner during the next month or so. Like Turner, Lindsay is a skinny speedster with defensive questions and a swing that needs to involve his entire body to generate thump. His BP in Phoenix was impressive, and he's much more physical than Turner was as a high schooler. Now, if you look at the money, his slot value for the 23rd pick, it sits at $3.7674 million. And in his interview with reporters after he was drafted, he said that he is planning to sign with the Dodgers instead of going to the University of Florida where he has a scholarship. He said, yes, as of now, that's the plan. So his plan is to sign with the Dodgers. And the big takeaway about all of this is LA is trying to load up on shortstops. You had Vargas, who they drafted, and he's done really well. They got him in the $1 million international bonus pool money, so they got him in the international. And then same thing with Emil Morales. They had got him with their international bonus pool money, and he's definitely performed well as well. And then now you got Kellen Lindsay, who is slotted right there under $4 million, and he'll probably go to the ACL. So Yeah, I think you're seeing through international markets and Vargas and Morales, and then through the draft and Lindsey, they're looking to develop position players. They're looking to develop a premium position, and hopefully they strike on one of these guys. I've heard really good things about Vargas, and you look at the age. I mean, these guys are young, less than 20 years old, 18, 17, 18. I mean, these are long-term investments and projects that you want to hopefully hit on. I mean, let's be honest. As great as these guys are, they're all lottery tickets at this point. But still, I mean, Morales is a guy that some people say could move to third base at some point. Maybe he's not a true shortstop, but Vargas certainly is a true shortstop, and we'll see if Ken Lindsey can be that. So congratulations. We're going to try to get him on the show. The Dodgers' 23rd overall pick, Kellen Lindsey, in Dodger blue. He expects to sign. He will not attend the University of Florida. Now, lastly, we're going to do a little quick rehab on a little re-update on Clayton Kershaw. So Kersh, he had his rehab at OKC, and it's a different year, and it's the same stuff. Different year, same stuff with Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers need him back. You would think maybe Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto, Bobby Miller, Gavin Stone, Walker Buehler, then maybe this would be the year where Kersh would feel like a luxury. Nope, not really. They need him in the worst way because of the pitching issues they've had. The pitching issues have been so bad that you almost need to expedite the process of getting him back. And he pitched well for AAA OKC. They face the El Paso Chihuahuas, the Padres AAA affiliate. I love that name right there. He went three innings, allowed no hits, no runs, had one walk, had five strikeouts, 38 pitches, 23 for strikes. He did walk a batter there in the third frame, but he was able to get a double play to get out of that and make light work of the Chihuahuas. And one thing you look at is how was the velocity playing. He averaged 89.9 miles per hour on his 18 four-seam fastballs. He hit 91.5 miles per hour on the gun. That's where he topped out. So that's where he's been for the last couple of seasons, is sitting between 90 and 92 miles per hour. And if you look at the swinging strikes, he had eight swinging strikes, two on the heater, five on the slider, and they had one on the Cooperstown curveball. So he had one on that curveball right there. So that's definitely encouraging. He said after the game that he got to 50 pitches after a bullpen session after his start. So did a little building up after his start in a bullpen session. And if everything goes well, if he wakes up and he feels fine and there's no lingering soreness, then he's going to have another rehab start on Friday. That'll be on 5 days rest. And he'll go for four or five innings. My guess, he'll go four innings, and then he'll be back with the Dodgers shortly after that. So if you look at the schedule for Oklahoma City, July 19th, they have a road game in Round Rock in Texas. Low A Rancho, they have a game at home against Lake Elsinore. So we'll see. Is it AAA? Is it down at Rancho? That remains to be seen. But the good news is Kersh looked good. He missed bats. The velocity was solid. And it looks like he's going to be back right after the All-Star break. And they need him in the worst way. So let me know down below in the comment section. Do you think Kersh is going to come back and have a big impact? Because I think that somehow, some way, the way these chips have fallen, they need him back in the worst way. And at the very least, Kersh is going to go out there and he is going to give it his best effort. And I think he's going to be fresh. I think that arm, surgically repaired shoulder, first major arm injury in his career, I think there's a really good chance he's going to come back and at the very least give you some stability, give you some much needed five innings, two run ball, six innings, three run ball type of performances. And then occasionally he'll turn the clock back and have a big double digit strikeout game. That's just the kind of competitor that he is, because he doesn't rely on velocity. He relies on command in the field for that slider. As long as he has those two things, he can go out there and be effective. And I still think that he can. I think there's not a lot of people, too many people are writing off Kershaw just because of what happened in a NLDS game one where he was compromised. He was a shell of himself and he was pitching injured. So let's see what a healthy Kershaw looks like. Hugs over rings. We got D-Mac call up Noah Miller from Joe Harrington. What about Ben Joyce, D-Mac? We got David. We got Graham Farmer, Tanner Scott, and Jansen wouldn't be bad. Lakers trade one of the catchers. Yeah, at some point, you got too many catchers, man. Lots of catchers on this team. Tyron Lorenzo. You got Diego Cartaya. You got Dalton Rushing. Will Smith signed a 10-year, $140 million deal. Any team out there that's looking to trade big league ready assets that have a need for catcher, the Dodgers are certainly the team to call, and I expect one of those guys to be dealt at the deadline. Joe Rodriguez, Kershaw is the best when used right. We got Graham Farmer. I would love some Miller time. Just how much are you willing to give up for a reliever? That's the thing. I wouldn't give up a ton for a reliever. Relievers are relievers. Also, relievers get hurt. Pitchers break. What happens if you trade for Mason Miller? He's throwing 101 next year. Come on now. 130 these guys get TJ. I'm just here to bring you the facts. It's a too high of a risk of a probability for me. And Crochet can do reliever type stuff too. He can do Mason Miller things late in games. Professor Hamamoto, Soto plus Otani, Shohei. Sohtani. I like that. That's fire. Think of the merch possibilities. It's a comedy show. Reno-san. Tanner Scott is the smartest choice over Mason Miller. The A's will want the moon and stars for him, especially if you pursue a trade package with Rooker. Whoever pulls the trigger will get finessed, LOL. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to overpay for sure for Mason Miller. Brent Rooker is someone that could help this team we talked about. And I think you would see multiple players included in a deal if it was the Dodgers. So I just don't think that is going to be the route they're going to go. Imagine Otani as the closer in his first year back. That'd be electric. Matt Leiter, I can't wait to see Kersh. He's going to be awesome. Three prospects says MVP 2005. What was your favorite baseball games? I like this. The prospect, this is his list of the best baseball games of all time. MVP 2005, Slugfest 2004, MLB The Show 2007 through 2010. Glad you said MVP 2005. You grew up right. MVP 2005, that's the number one game. There's no doubt about that. The shows that you mentioned definitely were there. If you want to go way back, Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball for the SNES way back in the day. But how about backyard baseball and the greatest baseball player ever in Pablo Sanchez? That has to be it. How about you, Antonio? Do you play any baseball games? Any baseball video games? If so, do you have a top choice?
Of course. My favorite game was from Nintendo 64, actually, All-Star Baseball 2000. I don't know why it was like 2 years behind, so it was like the 1998 rosters. But that's when you had Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. You had Ken Griffey Jr. hitting 56 home runs. It was just so much fun. And I would always trade all those players to the Dodgers.
As a kid. Nice. Turning on the trade mode. I remember 2002, there was a game for N64, Triple Play 2000. See, that's that had Sammy too. Sosa. How about you, Noel? Did you play any baseball games?
I mean, I was mainly 2K and Madden guy growing up, but I did play the show here and there. I was pretty bad at it, man. Like, I sucked at it. I wasn't able to get hits, wasn't able to field any plays. But I did like the Dynasty mode where you would kind of just oversee the team and just kind of get to make trades and see if you could build a contender. And then I would just simulate the games. I wouldn't actually play them. And I felt like I was kind of like Noel GM in that mode.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the show, you really have to give it some time and effort to really, the realism of that game was something you had to for sure commit to. How about Wii Sports Baseball too?
Oh,
Wii Sports Baseball.
Wii Sports was fun.
I love that too.
Yeah, we should have a Wii Sports Baseball competition.
Wii Sports was fun. Wii Sports was awesome.
For sure.
I'll strike you out.
What about you?
You'll strike me out?
What game did you play?
MVP 2005 was like my number one for sure. But yeah, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. when I was like really young kid, that was pretty fire because only Ken Griffey Jr. was the only MLB player that you had in the game.
That's it.
So it's like they all were like that player, but baseball games are good times. Ken Griffey Jr. is definitely great. MVP 2005 is the GOAT though.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But that's going to be for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Also, if you haven't yet, subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel, the number one Dodgers YouTube channel in the game. Got a big week of guests on the show. Later in the week, we got John Morosi join the show. We're working on getting Kellen Lindsay, the Dodgers' new draft choice. We're going to start talking about the trade deadline as far as getting really close after the All-Star break. So lots of big time shows coming up here at Dodgers Nation. So if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel and hit that like button if you really want to support the channel. A couple walk-off shots right here. We got to Carl. I'll take whoever has a history of not going on the IL. Carl, that's the risk that you take with all these guys. Let's not be surprised with who they get. Jade Cam, we got Dylan McKay. Mason Miller is Cindy Crawford. Okay, I get what you're saying there, going back to a Pam Anderson analogy there. Chase Utley for manager. That's from Dino. I honestly think your boy Trinan has closer stuff. He does. I mean, they have multiple guys in close games. They do. Daniel Hudson, Blake Trinan. But like I said, I'd rather go out there and find a way to reinforce. Find a way to put yourself in a position. What are the seven P's of the military? Prior proper planning prevents piss poor performance. You got to plan for the worst, right? You got to plan for it. If you're truly all in, if you're not all in, then fine. But if you're truly all in on hoisting the commissioner's trophy in 2024, you got to go out there and be proactive, not reactive, and go out there, make some big trades. Tanner Scott to the Dodgers. Can't wait to see it. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. Until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hey, girl. You can't make it? Aw, no te preocupes. Next time. A friend canceling plans is actually music to my ears, and it's all thanks to IKEA. I've been to Las Discotecas, and I've socialized a lot. But now, nothing is more exciting than getting a good night's sleep. I've got IKEA blackout curtains, a comfy comforter from IKEA, dimmable lamps, and a mattress that feels like sleeping on a cloud. From, adivinaste, IKEA. Visit your nearest IKEA today and find everything you need para crear el cuarto de tus sueños.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my
Glad stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me, like hitting up all my friends for a last minute study sesh, or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life. And even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T, period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.